And can start. So hi again, everyone. Welcome here in our AgeJavaScript weekly call. And we can go ahead. Maybe as always, if you have anything you would like to add to our agenda today, now you have opportunity to do so. But yeah, I think it's already quite heavy, so we can start immediately, right, with errors. So let's go and start with this one. That's kind of my bad recommendation. So sorry for that, guys. I didn't realize that. And you know, like one line of the code, one small dependency, it adds like 30 lines of code. And one of them is dependency which doesn't work in React. So yeah, I wouldn't assume that, but okay. I prepared some like update with taking the code from the repo and edit some mention about the original code. So I agree with that approach, and we can discuss if it's a good way. Currently, it should work for now. It's a question if we want to, is it like if we take that one class from the make error cause and put it to our code, is it like final solution for us, or do you think we would need to do something else, for example, or ourselves?
The make error calls, does it like provide the same thing as error.capture-stack-trace does, but then cross-platform, or
this is actually part of make error, if I'm not mistaken. But if you look into the code, and that's all, because I did like research about this error handling and error custom errors like three or four years ago. So maybe now the situation is better. But from what I remember, is it's not so easy like just extend error. So because there are some problems with instance of and that stuff. But maybe nowadays it's better and TypeScript solves everything. But that's kind of the reason why I'm usually using that make error class, at least if not the make error calls.
Make error does not depend on node dependencies, right?
No, that really works in React Native. We are using it, so this one we are using, like we are using make error in our React Native project, so that should work.
Okay. Yeah.
And so here you can see what I found is that if it's undefined, it does some implementation in here.
Okay, yeah. So Ned, I think that's really nice to have, because I think capture stack trace really helps. I think just my point was the other has a node specific dependency, and as it is literally 30 lines of code, I would rather just copy it into ARI's framework JavaScript instead of making a fork and
I did this one. So that's it. So I wasn't sure how to write this one, so I googled it, like I spent like 20 minutes on that, but I put this together from what I found.
I think we should copy the copyright from that project into this file.
Yeah, there is no copyright in that particular file in the make error course, so
I think they have a license file.
Yeah, that's Apache license.
Yeah, I think we should copy that one.
Okay, so and put
that's
it
how I
here.
At least understand. Yeah, that's how I understand it. Like maybe, if you take code you just need to reference the original author, and that's in there, I think.
Okay, I will do it. So I agree with that. So that's what I meant, that we can, take this code and put
nice.
It there. Okay.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Do you know, does it I'll put the stack in an actual readable format because I know React Native does the bundling that's taking place. So sometimes there's issues with actually getting a useful stack trace.
You know, that's a good question. I'm not sure about that. Yeah, it's like I just put this what I get from that for the output.
Mm-hmm. It feels like I sometimes get like a good stack trace and sometimes I don't, and I don't have the feeling like I can influence which type of stack trace I get. But I think there's some setting you need to enable what do they call it, like in you also need to enable it in the TypeScript compiler source maps.
Yeah. That's other thing, source maps. So you know, it's I think this is just default and without using source maps. So maybe that's the reason why it's like this weird. But
But I think that's just then out of because if the React Native didn't bundle a source map, we can't do anything about it. So I think if it's enabled, it will automatically include the correct stack trace.
Okay, I think we should. I don't recall that being enabled on Bifold at least, so it would be worth taking a look at that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So my question was when we do this change, we add this code in our framework. Do we take it as a final solution, or is it still some hot fix which would need to be fixed in the future? Because like to me, it's kind of good. So I'm like just interested in your opinions about this.
Yeah, to me also, if it works and we have also capture stack trace in not just Node.js but other platforms, I think that's pretty nice. With the like, maybe it could be improved in the future, but I think for now having this base error where other errors can extend from is really nice to have in this way. Yeah.
Good. And I think it's also good to, you know, not just use the make error, because we can use this cause chain. Maybe it could be, you know, variable sometimes. So I would try to use that if we went so far with this investigation. Okay, so because you know my fix was just really hot fix. I just wanted to make it work, and I was aware it's maybe not the best solution. But now, if we do it, we can move forward with this solution. So that was the kind of the reason.
Yeah, I should do a better job at running in React Native before making a PR. Sometimes I'm just like, this is such a small change that shouldn't break things, but.
I shouldn't recommend something which I didn't
yeah, it's your fault, Jaku.
James, what did you say? I missed that.
The small ones that you don't think it will break, those are the ones that end up breaking it.
Yeah. Okay, and cleanup. Timo, I think you added. I am kind of aware where are you going with this 2 points. Maybe if you have more points in the code you want to stress out right now.
I think it's mainly. I think you already fixed one of them. It's just. I think, with the renaming of samples to tests, because really we're not really samples. I think with the duplicate code is mainly because we had like mediator.ts, and now we have mediator WebSocket, which is like a lot of duplicate code. Yeah. And now with the mediation PR, they also added something for mediation stuff, and there's more duplication, which I tried to like merge them, and I had to do the same resolving in four files, which I think we should, I mean, I think the long-term goal is to move more and more from the samples into the core of the framework with inbound transports, that sort of stuff, or not core, but maybe plugins, but that it will be a native supported thing. But maybe, yeah, we could just look quickly to maybe extract some common things from the sample into a separate file and make it a bit more, manageable.
Okay. I need to look again to the the mediation work and see by myself what's there. But idea with WebSocket and the pure mediator is that I'm not 100% sure, but I think that if we have that mediation grant feature implemented, I think we could get rid of like a WebSocket version and end-to-end test WebSocket version in here, because then we can like have one end-to-end test which would use and that would be it's not actually end-to-end test, like end-to-end test is actually testing more like integration between mediation and agent. So from that point, it would be good that I think it's possible to have just one test in the form we have it right now, but and run one mediator server, and that would that duplicate what's there right now, at least.
With the mediation changes is that maybe with a bit more work, but the mediation server won't be anything different than an agent that you start up with mediation enabled, right?
Yeah, but this one is also, I think, the same. It's also like agent with within the server. So I think we can eventually move also this functionality into this mediator.
Yeah.
Right.
You wouldn't even need a mediator.ts. It's just you start the agent and you, because we have supported the mediation protocols, and you select the transports, the inbound transport, for example. You support HTTP and WebSockets, and then it supports mediation. And the only thing what you need to do is you need to accept the mediation request, and from there on you can mediate. So you don't need a mediator.ts.
It could be potentially helpful though to have tests specific to mediation though. But I think it makes sense to do those specific to the mediation module and kind of separate that from the transport layer. So if you can do mediation over WebSockets, for instance, you can leave the specific transport testing to the transports in a different place.
Yeah.
So Timo, you said that you don't need mediator TS file. But no. There would be some server anyway, right? Or
definitely. And therefore we need a mediator, but it won't be different from a server that's just a cloud agent, for example. It's just you instantiate the Express server, you pass that to, you create an inbound transporter instance, for example, HTTP. Inbound and a WebSocket inbound. I think they can both use the same Express server. Then you pass those inbound servers to the agent.
Yeah.
And then you basically have a mediator.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. But maybe it would be still good to name it mediator if if it's just for this purpose, like we have it right now, I would still make it like Mediator TS.
No, maybe
Or Mediator server. Yeah, okay, I see. And yeah, and then there are like more levels of the testing, and we can actually test the mediation itself without any any real transport layer. So as we have it already with agents inside the in those tests, we don't have any server running, you know.
I think that's really nice. Yeah.
So I think that's good, and that's good to have this level. But then still, it's nice to have level above with real world servers with WebSockets and stuff. So, and how I see it right now, maybe in the future we can have like Mediator server and issue verifier server or something like that, if we want to like have more end to end tests with real real running servers. But I see a lot of benefits in testing that mediation with running server, because that's a lot about the communication, like HTTP versus WebSockets, polling and that stuff. So that's kind of the reason we have this mediator server actually in end-to-end tests.
Yeah.
I think you bring a valuable point that to me it makes a lot of sense to have the mediator specific tests in the mediator module. That seems like the first place to start, and then you can potentially I'm partially repeating what you said, but then the second step is, okay, let's do an end-to-end test that actually spins up a server for the mediator, right?
Yeah, exactly. So and because you know, you added a lot of logic with this mediation part, so that makes sense to maybe add more tests at this like lower level than this more end-to-end test with everything. But for the purpose we needed until like now, that was like good, because it wasn't so hard to, you know, there wasn't so much logic to test. Yeah. And having the server for a lot of logic and a lot of tests maybe doesn't make a sense, because there is just one piece of the functionality or like fewer logic you need to test with some real world server.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I need to look at this, at that feature branch again. I think I mentioned it, we shouldn't have this one as a server.
No, I think maybe that came over from I think both David, Adam and Ariel were working on mediation. I think some of it just got, there's some duplicate stuff in there.
I think we won't need this as a server, but then you know, it depends. As I said, we can put at least current version of HTTP and WebSockets mediator, we can put into one file, the same for the test, and then it depends what's exactly in here, but I think it should converge together with what we have right now somehow. So it will be, it won't be like duplicated many times.
Yeah. One question for, I don't know, either Jakub or the people working on mediation. What is the current approach for, handling the queued message? Because I think currently we have a storage outbound transporter that handles this. Is this part of the mediation work or more part of the transport work you're doing, Jakub?
Good question.
Outbound from a mediator or clarification would be helpful there.
Oh yeah, so let's say AFA is started as a mediator and receive a message. Currently, how that works is just we have a single outbound transporter and we send it over there. and a mediator is started with a storage outbound transporter that just catches all messages that it receives and stores that in memory. It assumes that the mediation is handled outside of the framework with the inbound transporter after that. So my question is mainly like, we need to internalize that somehow. Like when we receive a forward message as a mediator, we need to queue it somewhere. And I was just like, it feels like it's a bit in the middle between mediation and transport. So like, where are we, who's working on that or intending to work on it or nobody, and where are we gonna handle it?
I just want to say that I'm not working on that right now, but I count it as I described in here. I take it as a regular outbound layer, outbound transport. So when I add multiple transports, I will take this one as one of them, like one option, how to have outbound transport. That's all. But I don't plan any more updates within like this area about that storage mechanism. And now, word for James, because I'm curious, what's the point of view from the mediation implementation side?
I know we've been focusing on the recipient side of things on mediation. And so I don't know if we had fully planned on this side. And David, you can correct me on this.
I don't think we've looked at that piece at all. Mm-hmm. So
it seems to me, maybe I'm interpreting this incorrectly, but can you do it just as a essentially another protocol handler listener, listening specifically for the forward messages and then actually handling that queuing functionality?
I think we could do that. However, receiving a forward message and sending it, I think we don't necessarily need to make a distinction between a message in. That's also what I replied to the issue for at support for multiple transports and how ECAPI handles it is a message is a message, and whether we received it as a forward message or not, it's still like I think it would be nice if we can create like a single pipeline that just a message flows through, whether it's a received forward message or not, but it just has a target. We want to send it to this connection where we first check, all right, do we have an inbound session? If we have that, we'll just send it directly. Let's say we already have a WebSocket connection. If that doesn't work, we'll try the outbound transports, HTTP or WebSocket, depends on what the DITDOC specified. If that all doesn't work, we queue it internally. So it can either be have a state of waiting for pickup, if it's, for example, DITCOM queue, or undeliverable in the sense that if DITDOC has only transport or schemes that we don't support, then we have a problem and we can't deliver. So it's just if nobody's worked on it, I thought maybe I can look into this part. But I'm just finding the place between the different work going on where it like connects together and comes together.
Mm-hmm.
So because I know that there is some you mentioned it in some issue that we should internalize this. So because as you describe it right now, it seems to me that the place where it is right now as an outbound transporter makes sense, but maybe
but
what do you think about that?
Because not necessarily well, if we have it in an outbound transport and then the client opens a WebSocket connection on our inbound WebSocket connection, it should go from the outbound transport back to the inbound transport. So it should never, I think, go to an outbound transport, because we could be able to deliver it in an inbound transport. So it should stay, the message should stay on a higher level before we can determine which route it needs to take.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I want to internalize it.
But it, okay. I think it works as you described right now, because if you get the message via WebSocket and there is some return, return route flag, then we send it back via the same WebSocket and we don't send it, we don't save it inside.
Yeah, but I think that only works because we have a very specific implementation of the inbound transport, right? Like the transport needs to know we have this outbound transport and it has the message repository and it needs to take them out of there, right?
Okay. You are talking about the case when the agent is asking for new messages or sending message to forward the message?
Let's say AFJ is a mediator, mm-hmm. and receive a forward message, and we first check if there's an open connection. There is none because the mobile phone is offline.
Yeah.
Then we receive like 5 messages. We only have the DITCOM queue transport, mm-hmm. so we can't deliver it over HTTP mm-hmm. or WebSocket. So we need to store the message. Then whenever an inbound session is, the agent connects again, we need to make sure those messages are passed over either HTTP or WebSocket. And I think currently, how it works is because the inbound transport and outbound transport that are linked to each other, right? Because we pass the message repository to the agent and we use the message repository in the outbound transporter.
I could see doing that internalization in that pipeline could be really helpful. One of the thoughts there that occurred to me is that if you're going to run AFJ as a mediator, our discussions around push notifications and plugins on the Akapai discussion, having similar capability to have one place where you could hook into that process could also be beneficial.
I think that's... go ahead.
I think that's a little bit further down the road of we may not want to tackle that initially, but having one place where this is the flow of how that gets handled, I think would be beneficial. So,
yeah, I think it gives us a lot of power in Akapai because, for example, with the push notification work we're doing now, it was very easily in the pipeline to know, if we're here, we're this. And so we created an enum with different states and we can exactly know when do we need to send a push notification, when do we not, which state of the delivery process is messaging. And because we internalize that, we have control over it.
I still don't see maybe I'm missing something, but I think we can implement it, this logic, we can implement the logic where as you described, we can look, is it possible to send it by WebSocket? If it is, we just send it directly. If it's not, we just store it into the queue, like into the some storage, like messaging storage.
Yeah. So I agree. Just not as in an outbound transporter.
Why not?
Because it's not actually going to be delivered through the outbound transporter. It's going to probably be delivered through an inbound transporter. So we're sending it to an outbound transporter while it's actually being delivered through the inbound transporter.
Okay, maybe. Yeah, yeah. So Okay, so yeah, maybe just what's my point? Like, I'm not saying that I need to have it like as outbound transporter. I just wanted to, you know, understand like your thinking about that. If we internalize it, it doesn't matter where it actually the logic will be. But to me, what's important to have like to be able to decide what storage will be for the messages. And also, that's the first thing. So as you know, Timo, it's like the message, there is some message repository like injected via config and that stuff. And the idea was from the beginning to be able to use Redis, for example, for that, because I know that we our like requirements for the scalability of the mediator is quite high. So that was my idea, how to do it without, you know, with current architecture, how to simply do it in this way to store messages to some other.
That's definitely possible. With now that we have dependency injection, we have a default storage mechanism, for example, in the storage service, but you can override it. So instead of letting the framework use the same storage service for all repositories, you can say at initialization, all right, I initialize the message repository myself, and under the hood, I use Redis storage service and I bind that. So I override the defaults in the storage service and I say for this repository, use the Redis service. So with the dependency injection, we have pretty flexible control over when we use what.
Okay. Yeah, maybe that makes sense, because we can put the logic in. We would need to put the logic, I guess, in here anyway. So maybe it won't be like send message via some outbound transporter, but it will be here, like there will be some logic, try to send message, and if it fails, then we will have some like store message. Unbound message, right? This is the idea. Okay, yeah, that's. I think that's another problem.
Does it make sense to? I guess correct me on this, but put the logic in the message receiver so that when we actually receive the message, that's where we can determine how we handle that. And part of that could be to send a message or try to send a message. And then if that fails, it should store the error on the receiving side and versus inside of the message sender. If that makes any sense.
So I think it should be shared maybe between message receiver. You mean like when you receive the forward message or?
Mm-hmm. That partially is where it makes sense to me to handle that's where the pipeline at least should start.
I don't think every message has to come from a forward message. Let's say the mediator, I as a mediator want to send a message to the connection. It doesn't originate from a forward message, but it still needs to be delivered in the same way. So in that case, the receiving side of it is not existent in that flow. Because the message originates from the mediator itself. So I think handling it in the outbound makes more sense to me.
So I guess a clarification question then. So with just any message, if it is not able to be delivered, is the intention to queue that for delivery?
I think it depends. It should just be in Ekapi, it's also a startup parameter, and I think we can I think we should just make like the distinction between if it has a DITCOM outbound transport, you have enabled that you want to queue messages, and maybe even I think mainly that you have granted mediation, for example. In those cases you queue it, otherwise not.
I guess, so the thought process is if you're a mediator, we want to store, because I guess when I approached it, I was thinking, okay, if you're a mediator, you only want to queue messages or forward messages. I suppose it could also be useful to be able to queue other types of messages as well that originate from the agent versus just a forward message.
Yeah, I think if we generalize it and not make it specific for forward messages, it's more open to other types of, let's say if you want to use AFJ as a relay instead of a mediator, then you don't have a forward message, but still want to deliver it, and it would work. So I think if we can implement it in a general way and maybe apply restrictions on top of it to make it only work, for example, if you want to do that forward messages.
I agree. I think that makes more sense to put it in the sender portion, because that's where it would likely fail. I wonder if you can, as part of the send message, or have either a separate method or the capability to pass a flag to it, or it utilizes configuration parameters from the startup to determine whether or not it should store it.
Yeah.
But that belabors a little bit of the specific details, and I think we're generally on the same line of thinking. So taking a stab at it is probably the most effective thing to do at this point in time.
It would be something like that, I guess. Mm-hmm. What you meant.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and Timo, you said something that if you want to send outbound message via inbound transporter, what did you mean by this? Like connect inbound and outbound? I'm not sure if I get it.
Well, if you're a mediator, then most times, with as it sounds, you will deliver outbound messages through the inbound transport, because if you have an edge agent that connects through a WebSocket to your mediator, which means it's the inbound transport, because the edge opens the connection to the our thing. So it's an inbound transport. Maybe the name is not correct and we should change it. But in that case, the inbound transport is the server host. And it will open the connection, but we can push messages over the WebSocket to the edge agent. So the message will be delivered through the inbound transport clause. Does that make sense?
Okay, maybe currently it would be delivered by WebSocket outbound transporter. So maybe we have some like naming misconceptions, but the case you described is delivered by like WebSocket outbound transport.
Okay.
But it takes the socket from the session. And session is set when the inbound happened. So in inbound transport, you set the session somewhere into the core. And then if the message, because the message which is like transferred is from the different channel, you know, the different agent sends you via HTTP message.
Yeah.
And then the framework needs to look if there is some existing like connection, WebSocket connection or anything with another agent. for particular connection ID or var key or what the routing mechanism. But and maybe you have like different like model in your mind and with that inbound transport, and I'm seeing it from a different perspective, so maybe we don't understand each other in this, but that's just wanted to explain it in my words and in my.
Okay, I'll take another look at the implementation and see how it works, and then comment on the issue.
Yeah, and another thing which is related to this storage mechanism, I call it like inbox protocol. I don't know what's the better word for that, but what I mean it is, what about the message delivery? Let's say currently, for example, if I take VCX, there is some mechanism where when you download pending messages, there is some like messages for you as edge agent. You download messages which are in state pending. You download those messages and process it. And after you process it, you need to say back to your mediator that you processed those messages. So, and I haven't thought so into details about this protocol, but I call it like inbox protocol right now. And I'm not sure if there is something in Aries RFCS or what's your thinking about that.
Design document of the protocol in VCX. I know airstream.net has an inbox protocol, and I think, I don't know if you have the link, James, but I know Indicio is working on a pickup protocol v2 that is going to have a simple acknowledgement in it. So it's not as advanced, I think, as an inbox protocol, but it will support at least acknowledgement of delivery. So you don't lose messages. And I wrote a message access protocol that's basically it's a lot like the pickup protocol, but it has the concept of an inbox. But I think that's very quick. But I think something like that would be nice. But if we can, like, I think the pickup protocol v2 will give a lot of the things we need from this.
Okay. So and that was also the reason why I put it outside the framework, because I wasn't sure, and if I want to like use it right now, I need something for that, and I would need, you know, I would be adding some custom protocol into the framework. So that was the reason why I put it like aside, and then there is a possibility to implement it by yourself. You know, if you are building your mediation and you have agent and there is no protocol for this, that was the reason. So if we address these two points, I just described in here, and it makes more sense to somehow internalize it, then I'm like good with
that.
But
I think with dependency injection, you can like hook into a lot of things. So that makes it possible. So I think those two things are definitely possible with the approach that I described.
Yeah.
It may be beneficial to make sure that we align on our terminology on transporters. And I know, I think you already touched on that, but concept of having, what are we defining as an inbound and what is an outbound transporter? And there may be, maybe it's beneficial to separate the actually running a server is not necessarily a inbound transporter. It's I don't necessarily know the terminology we should use here, but that's a separate thing. While the inbound transporter and outbound transporter is literally how you receive messages and how you send messages. And that could be either from a client perspective or from a server perspective. So running the server is a different terminology.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, maybe that would be good. Yeah.
I think we could probably clarify some of our thoughts there offline, but I figured I would give a quick 2 cents on approach there.
Yeah, that's, I'll create a terminology issue.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, I see, you know, and maybe my point, like briefly, my point of view about why inbound, unbound, and I didn't look into Akapai so much because I just saw that it's a lot dependent on the server side environment. So then I just, you know, forget about it and try to think by myself how I would think about it if I am implementing something more general than just service in server-side environment. So to me, inbound transport is something which calls this method, you know? That's how I see inbound. And maybe it's not good, and I'm just explaining how I see it. And similarly, the opposite is what calls the send message in message sender, which is implemented actually in that, yeah, here. So maybe message sender would be a better place because message send, yeah. And what calls this method is to me is like actually what implements this method, that's outbound transport for me. So that's how I distinguish between them. And maybe we can, you know, you can explain to me what's the right terminology and then we can put our minds together. Okay, so shared components.
Yeah. 2 points, I think we can keep it short for now. Is first thing is we eventually want to support shared components. I think we already extracted some of in the SDK to separate services. And I think the next step would be to, instead of making it classes, make it interfaces. And so under the hood, it can either use in the SDK or it can use the shared libraries. Same with the ledger, where we can either use in the SDK for the ledger, but we can also use in the VDR or as Indicio is looking at in the VDR, the proxy. So you just make, don't do the ledger operations in the framework itself, but do it externally. I think so the first step is just creating interfaces, then from there on it will be a lot easier to support new libraries. Other one is, and that's the issue I linked that, is mainly, all right, how can we, like, we need to create wrappers for, so we can use the libraries in the SDK, for example. Maybe if you all can give it a read and share your thoughts, then yeah, we can discuss it in more detail, I think, later.
Okay. Yeah, that actually this, I think, would be nice, at least for the mediation part, where you need a lot of performance. And it doesn't have to be in a React Native interface. So I thought about that a little bit. So it'd be nice to have this one there. Okay. Yeah. We would need wrappers for every such library, I would say. So
yeah. I think the main approach, and we discussed this on the Bifold call yesterday, is that we would like to, you also have talked about a bit the new like architecture of React Native, where we can directly invoke C code, so we can write a single wrapper for both iOS and Android. Yeah, I don't know if you have more like knowledge on how to already utilize that.
No, unfortunately, I don't. But yeah, that would be. I would say that, like, that's killer feature for React Native in a next few years if it happens.
Happens. I found a few libraries already using like the JavaScript interface, which is like the thing that allows you to call native code from JavaScript as long as they're an interface. I think the C++ interface is already defined by React Native. But I don't think that maybe the code generation is ready just yet. So I think that's maybe what we need to look into is like Microsoft has React Native TS Code Gen that I linked over there.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're working on it. I'm just not sure. It would be cool if you could like take the current Indie VDR Node.js wrapper that has an interface and we could just generate the C code, boilerplate code from it. That would like be already be a lot less work if we all had to do it ourselves.
Yeah, that would be great if we figured it out. It would be amazing. It would save a lot because I think we would need the same for BBS plus signatures, not only for indie related stuff.
Yeah, but BBS is the nice thing is Andrew has done a lot of work to support all of the new key types in Eris Askar. So if we adopt Eris Askar, we have support for the indie stuff, but also BLS keys and P curves and like all the things so that we could, we gain a lot from adopting those new libraries.
Yeah. Maybe kind of related question. Yeah, so regarding the ledger service, it would be interesting to see how it evolve in relation to other ledgers, like Ethereum, for example, if it's even makes sense to think about that. I'm not sure, maybe it's too far away and maybe it won't happen anytime soon, so.
Yeah, I that's why I proposed in there. I said ledger service should become indie ledger service interface, mainly because I think a general ledger thing is going to be more and more not needed because I think it would be make more sense to have an indie ledger implementation with an interface that we can use for the different indie libraries. But more create like a universal DIT resolver and a universal DIT registrar that abstracts away the ledger concept because the only thing after that you need a ledger for in indie is schema, credential definition, revocation, which is all very indie specific. So I don't think we need a general ledger interface.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't make sense so much. That's right. And by this credex, do you mean that third library by BCGov or I don't know who wrote it?
Okay, yeah, that's
a replacement for in the SDK related.
The credential related stuff.
I don't credit. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And yeah, we are running out of time, but you know, I would like to discuss maybe next time. So just mention how it will differ with the BBS plus signatures, this structure, you know, in the and you know other in the holder issue verifier service, and yeah, like would I think there are other format for credentials. I think it's W3C standard credential, which is not using like BBS plus signature. And I would be curious how it will be difficult for us to implement it in the framework, or maybe it makes sense to add the like the BBS plus signature, and then that will bring us that format.
I can prepare a very short overview of how we implemented in Ekapi. Doesn't mean we have to do the same, take the same approach in AFJ, but maybe we can take it as a starting point.
Yeah, because
go for it.
Yeah, I just want to say that I got some requests about how or even if it's possible to use that W3C standard for the credentials with Aries JavaScript framework. So I would like to open this discussion maybe next time in the following weeks. Yes, James, you wanted to say something.
I agree. I think it would be a good conversation to have. I think we're interested in being able to do BBS plus and other credential formats as well. So look forward to the discussion.
Okay, cool. And I think it's nice end of this story. Timo, is this like, I think, what is it about? Like that. Yeah, these two. Okay.
Yeah.
I will look at it, but I said myself many times that I need to look at them, but I just needed to move to something else. So.
Yeah. No. No. It's okay.
That error. For example, yesterday. So. Yeah. But. I look at it briefly. I think it looks good, but I will give it one more time and.
I'm waiting for that green check mark from Jakub.
Okay. Yeah, sorry for that. I look mainly to these other PRs from you because I thought they seemed more important, so I prioritized them. Okay, and that's all for today, guys. So thank you very much being here and for discussion and. Have a nice Friday weekend and see you next week.
Thank you.
Bye.